You know, sometimes I tend to preach the lectionary, and lectionary is just a fancy word for an assigned group of scriptures that you could draw from on a given Sunday. The more traditional churches abide by that on a pretty regular basis. I'm a little bit in and out, depending on how I feel the Holy Spirit's leading me and what I'm preparing for that week. But when I looked at the lectionary, sometimes when I'm stumped and I just don't have a good handle on perhaps something to preach on, I'll go to the lectionary readings, and I looked at the gospel reading. I said, "Nah." I looked at the Old Testament text. I said, "Nah." Then I looked at the epistle reading, and I said, "I just don't feel comfortable." Then I looked at the psalm, and it was Psalm 138. And the more I focused on that psalm, the more I was compelled to base this sermon on, because I think it's got a whole lot of meat. And I gave it a quirky sermon title, which if anybody read it, they would think it was a mathematical equation. You know, P times 4 equals P. Anybody know algebra? It's not algebraic, so don't even bother. Hopefully you'll understand what the four P's are that leads to the final P. And you could apply that to your life, and I could apply it to my life to help us. I just asked this question. If you remember last week, I preached a message on give peace a chance, right? And it was a Memorial Sunday, and we honored those who sacrificed their lives for us so that we might have this peace in our land, and praying for peace around the world. But I want to ask you this question. How many could use a little bit more peace in your life? Yeah? Does your life get hectic every now and then? Well, certainly mine does. I always want, perhaps more than anything else, to have a calm during any circumstance that I might face in my life. That's my desire, because I think we all crave for peace, perhaps more than anything else. You know, everything's kind of temporary, but if we could have a sustaining peace in our lives, we've really captured something that is greatly important to each of us. And so the first thing that really stood out for me in this psalm that Barbara just read, 138, David begins this psalm by emphasizing praise. And so that's the first P that I'd like to introduce this morning. He begins with this: "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart." And so he begins the psalm by praising God. And I believe praise in the Bible is a major theme that weaves its way from Genesis to Revelation. And so we know that praise is very important to God. It comes from a Latin term which means price or value, to place value on something. Praise is extremely valuable. Let's face it. Listen, if you had a Rolex watch and a Timex, which one would you keep in the safe? Right? All your costume jewelry and your cheap watches, you know. You don't worry about when you leave the house that if a burglar breaks in, you're going to have to worry about your Timex watch being stolen, right? And so praise puts a value on something, a price. And it's my hope that when we think of praise, that we put a high value on God, that God is not just one of many things that we consider to be valuable, but that God would have top priority when we place our value in our lives. You know, whenever we sing a hymn in church, that's a form of praise. When there's a soloist that sings, it's a form of praise. In fact, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so Bob and I had a conversation, you might remember, in my office last week, Bob. We were talking about how praise ushers in the presence of God. Okay, so what you have is when we praise God and we sing his praises, it brings in the Holy Spirit. And so we know that it ushers in the presence of God. But you know, one thing that the scripture emphasizes, though, is this. It must be done from our heart. Because he says, I praise you with all of my heart. He reserves nothing, but actually praises God from all of his heart. And I see some bulletins arrived. So
everything in God's timing.
But why during the sermon? No, I'm only kidding. I'm going to just continue. You're going to get a bulletin that'll keep you on point. A strong example of praise occurs in corporate worship. When we gather together as a church and we sing to God's glory, something magnificent happens. At least it does for me. And that's why I think when we had to delay singing as a congregation, every time I left worship, I felt like something was missing. There was something lacking in the worship. Through no fault of our own, there's something dynamic that happens when the church begins to sing the praises of God. But how many know we could praise outside of church? That you don't just praise God during corporate worship. You know, the Hebrew word, one of the connotations in the Hebrew, as opposed to the Latin, praise has an element of confession in it. And so when we're praising God, we're confessing all of the blessings that God has blessed us with. So when we praise God, we're so thankful. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all the marvelous things that you have done in my life. Has God done marvelous things in your life?
Every day.
He has in mine. You know, I mean, just think about it. When you praise God, you're acknowledging and remembering and highlighting all of the blessings that God has blessed you with. Think about your blessings each day, friends. How about your health? Now, some of us may not be completely healthy, but we have enough health to get here this morning. How about your family? Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, the people who you love so dearly, God has blessed you with. Or how about a place to live? There are many homeless people today, and God loves them just as much as we, but I have to tell you, I thank God every day that I have a roof over my head. I thank God for God's provision, that there's food in the refrigerator, that there's running water when I turn on the faucet, that there's electricity to run the lights, and yes, soon, air conditioning. We are a spoiled people. But we should be thankful for so many things. And when we praise God, it's a form of thanksgiving. And David knew that more than anybody else. And then David highlights a second important emphasis in verse 3. This is the second P. He says, when I called out, you answered me. When you call out to God, what do we call that? Prayer. Prayer is so important. Not only praise, but prayer. You see, the simplest definition of prayer is this: dialoguing with God. See, oftentimes when we pray, it's whip, bam, boom, out of here. It's a dialogue. It's a back and forth. It's a speaking to God and then waiting for an answer, waiting for a confirmation, waiting for a stillness inside our very soul, knowing that this is the right thing, the right direction that we need to take. Certainly, Jesus exemplified the importance of prayer. Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray on a regular basis. To pray, to find a quiet space is important because our world is so noisy. Maybe for you it's early in the morning, that's when it is for me. Or perhaps it's late at night before you go to bed. Maybe it's in the middle of the day. You could pray while you're driving your car with your eyes open. You could pray while you're walking an evening stroll as the weather gets nice. You could pray when you're seated on your back deck or patio, enjoying a cup of coffee. You could dialogue with God. Lord, thank you for the beauty of this day. There's a number of, I praise you and I thank you for what you've already done in my life. But Lord, there's a couple of things that I'd like to lift up in prayer today. And you, being outdoors with the trees and the birds, you could just begin to join in and pray, petition for others, pray for world events, pray for a number of things. And I also encourage you, if you can, keep a prayer journal. Because when God answers those prayers, you want to check them off and add other prayers to that list as well. God is truly present when we praise, and God is truly present when we pray. And that is why David writes, "When I called, you answered me." God is on duty 24/7. God doesn't take vacations. God doesn't sleep or slumber. God is available 24/7, and David knew it, and he said, "When I call out to you, you answered me." So remember, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation. It's a give and take, you and God, waiting, listening, quietly. Sometimes God reveals his answer in his word. Sometimes God reveals his answer through somebody else. Sometimes you might be watching something on TV and the answer comes through. And sometimes it comes in the stillness and the quietness of your quiet space. You go, "Yes, I got the answer. And I thank you, Lord." And so begin with praise, thanking God for all of your blessings and my blessings, and then have a discussion with God in prayer. Let him know what's on your heart, and then quiet yourself. And so we have P, praise, P, prayer, and then the second half of verse 3, David confesses this. I love the New Living Translation. "You encourage me by giving me strength." You encourage me by giving me strength, which, my friends, equates to perseverance. To persevere, even though I'm being tested, even though I'm going through a trial in my life. The Message translation says God steps in when we need to be strengthened. Think of that. Somebody stepping in and helping you. Somebody stepping in and taking over when you can't go any further with the challenge that you're facing in your life. He gives us the strength to work through some challenge that we're facing, to get through our stuff. How many have stuff this morning? Yeah, we all got our stuff, don't we? And sometimes it's hard to get through our stuff, and we need help to persevere. And so what we have now is praise, prayer, persevere. And then in verse 8, David proclaims, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me." So the fourth P is purpose. Purpose is so important in our lives, friends. Many times I hear people, they're in a state of depression, and they'll say to me, "You know what, Pastor? I don't feel like I have a purpose in my life." That's a sad commentary. I feel like there's no purpose. There's no reason to get up in the morning. There's no reason to continue. And they get into this funk and this slump in their lives. You know, I see Wayne back there. You may remember. But I had a woman in my church many years ago when I was the pastor of Sayville. And she had lost her husband. And she really, she went into a state of depression. And she felt as if she had no purpose in her life anymore. She felt, she said, "I have no gifts that I could offer. I don't have a good singing voice. I can't sing in the choir." Even though the Bible says make a joyful noise. And some people make some noise, don't they? "I don't play an instrument, Pastor, so I can't help out there." And she says, I'm not strong enough to help out in some of the other ministries, like the trustees and move stuff around. "I don't drive at night, so I can't make certain situations." And I shared with her, I said, "Pray every day that God would show you a purpose for your life. Just say, God, give me a purpose, a meaning, some direction, something that I could do that would fulfill a purpose in my life. Several weeks later, she came up to me. She says, I got it. And I said, what is it? She said, God wants me to write cards to people. I could do that. She said, I could write cards to people. And so she got a list of all the birthdays of the people in the church, wedding anniversaries. If someone died, she sent a bereavement card. If a baby was baptized, she sent a card to that family. She was the card minister of the church. And she had this purpose. And if she heard of somebody struggling, she would send a card of encouragement to lift them up above their circumstances. And my wife, for many years, she has since gone home to be with the Lord. But even when we moved, we would get birthday cards. And so she had a purpose. And her life was fulfilled. And God showed her that purpose simply by praying. So friends, you got to seek it in order to receive it. Ask God, God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? And I will tell you, Dave knew it. David knew it. God showed a purpose for him, and God will show a purpose for us as well. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians that God wants to work out everything in our lives according to his purpose. In other words, Jeremiah 29:11, he's got a plan for your life, and he's got a plan for my life. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, but everybody's called to have a ministry. And so we need to pray for that. So what I got out of Psalm 138 is this. Praise ushers in the presence of God. Prayer is a dialogue between us and God. And God recognizes our prayers, and God answers our prayers. Perseverance is provided to give us the strength to get through the challenges we face in life. And purpose is provided so that we can feel fulfilled and know that we're doing the will of God. So when you times those four P's by four, you wind up with peace. You wind up with peace because you're exactly where God wants you to be in your life. And isn't that what we're all seeking? Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is ready, willing, and able to provide such a peace that, by the way, friends, the Bible says the world can't give. Embrace it. Embrace that peace. It's God's gift. His unconditional gift to each of us, if we would only ask for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.